Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. This is Arnold from Fresno, California. I'm a little buzzed, but I have a question for you. Would you rather drive across the country with a guy that talks too loud on his phone, or I don't know what the fuck I was going to say. Later.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
We'll talk to Artie Lang in 10 seconds. I want to thank LifeLock, LifeLock.com. Enter Adam for this half of the show. TrueCar.com. Download that app and Geico, Geico.com. And let's welcome back to the show our friend Artie Lang. Good to speak to you, Artie.
Hey, Adam. What's up, brother?
I'm doing well. The book is called Wanna Bet? A Degenerate Gambler's Life to Living on the Edge. Is it Life to... Different life to live. Did I get that right?
The thing about books nowadays, they have to have that after title. They have to have that long paragraph after a title, I guess, to explain exactly what the book is to people.
Mm-hmm.
We just treat people like they're insanely dumb. You know, like The Great Gatsby was just The Great Gatsby. It wasn't The Great Gatsby, a guy to a guy who was rich from Vision Long Island with Bonnie Egg Harbor. You got to let it play out. And I don't even know what the second... They make up the second part. So they throw in degenerate. You know. They improvise.
Is it...
Guide.
Guide. Yes. Life was confusing me.
Good. Yeah. Good catch. Right.
Hey, Max Pata.
I don't think it's worded properly. And I don't know if it's a guide.
Is it guide or life?
I have it right here on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
A Degenerate Gambler's Guide to Living on the Edge.
Max Pat, this may be a brand new discussion. I don't know. You have to read this stuff because the person who does it is semi-incompetent, and we've established that many times, right?
Yeah.
Inconsistent and incompetent? I don't blame Dylan. I blame you. You got to read it.
I will.
Okay. The problem is life is just close enough to make me screwed up. Okay, Artie, we got it. The word guide to living.
Yeah. Guide might be a little misleading if you read the book. It doesn't really guide you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you need the subtitles. Now, pornos are like that too. Pornos have stopped being creative with the titles. Pornos now have three elements to the title. They have the ethnicity of the person, what body part they're concentrating on, and the number of sequel. It's like it's just a big fucking Portuguese tits nine.
I was looking yellow armpits.
So that's what this book is kind of like.
Artie, also Crashing just renewed for season 3, which is coming
soon. Is this really
soon.
Artie Lang?
That's great. It's been renewed because we've been shooting season 3 for 4 weeks. The renewal. I tell you, working with Judd Apatow, well, you know this, Adam, you're successful, is working with someone who gets money for a budget. It's unbelievable how different it is than anything else I've been on. Four cameras with 35mm film going at once. It's insane. So it's easy.
Crashing is one of my favorite shows on TV. I just love it.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of yours on the show, and we should all sort of praise Judd Apatow because almost everything that guy, every pie that guy puts his thumb in, I end up liking a slice of. Yep. Artie, how is the drugs and the sobriety treating you, or lack thereof?
The difference in this interview with me and then others is. And others, I was always insanely lying about all of that. Now I can't because I have court. These are court-ordered rehabs. So I'm drug tested, urine tested 3 times a week. And it takes opiates or cocaine 4 days to get out of your system. So there's no way to beat it. And they call it penis in cup, which means a guy has to watch your penis go in the cup. Mm. So you don't have a tube or something. Yeah.
That guy's hoping Brad can get the reunion. Hey, what are you up to, Tim?
PIC for short.
I'm working with Artie Lang, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather be the tit and bra guy than the penis and cup guy, but if you have to, you have to.
Lawrence Taylor used to buy clean piss from a guy. And the greatest thing ever is before the NFC Championship game, and I think 89 when he got suspended, the guy sold him dirty piss. He bought piss that had cocaine.
You had one job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am right now as clean as I've been in a long time because I spent 2 months in Los Angeles County Jail when I was 28, and I was not far removed from a blue-collar life at that point. So 2 months in L.A. County was like Shangri-La compared to 5 days in North Essex County Jail in New Jersey, which I did about 6 months ago. It's literally a shithole. And I would do anything not to go back there. That is a deterrent jail. So I am right now clean.
So how long have you been clean, and what's the schedule of the dick and the cup guy?
Well, I think he has racquetball too. He's a by the book guy. It's 3 times a week, always the same guy. And I've been clean now for 1 month and 2 days because that's when I'm not gonna lie to you. I got high right up until the probation started. I had a last hurrah, and a month and 2 days ago is when I had to stop.
Well,
Suboxone is the thing you're on. It's a modern-day methadone. The court accepts it. So that's what I take to stop the withdrawal. But besides that, you know.
Well, I think I speak for a lot of people who sort of feel like Artie Lang is a national treasure. And, and you know, all the things Artie Lang has done to make people not love him over the last decade hasn't worked. Every time I talk to someone, I'm like, oh, we love Artie. Everyone's pulling for Artie. Everyone's rooting for Artie. It'd be nice if that would work. I mean, it'd be nice if Artie stayed sober and Artie, you know, did books and did stand-up specials and done, you know, movies and season 3 of Crashing. We like that Artie. What do you think the chances of that Artie sticking around are?
Well, I got to tell you something. It'd be nice if those people you talk to also were executives of networks and not just had their own bread route every morning in Jersey City. I need powerful people to love me. Look, that's a great question, man. And I don't know how much of this is just purely wanting to stay out of jail. You know, I'm someone, I never got those things that people say. I looked in my baby's eyes, I stopped doing drugs. I've had 4 fiancés, technically, that all ended in fiery wrecks. One girl had got an abortion without telling me. I'd have a 22-year-old son right now if we'll call her a whore, didn't get an abortion without telling me. 23 years ago in L.A., and I've never had that thing, a wife and family, to go, I'm going to stop. The business never really kicked me out, you know, fully. I'd probably be a little more successful if I didn't do dope, but who knows? Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe that's what people like about me. I don't know. I hope he sticks around because it's way less expensive. And the withdrawals from heroin are brutal. You know, cocaine, if you got to take a pick, I'd do cocaine if I was a kid because there's no physical withdrawals and you shit better.
Is this really Artie Lang?
And also, I don't know what you're doing with the stand-up. You should be speaking. You should be speaking to students.
Gather around, kids.
Well, people always say to me, you do so much heroin, how come you're not constipated? Because the big thing about heroin is that to me is the single most grotesque piece of gossip I ever read or heard about. Bobby Brown had to pull pieces of shit out of Whitney Houston's ass because she was constipated from opiate use. And Bobby Brown physically, he said this in an interview, pulled shit out of her ass.
I don't think that was his prerogative. I feel like that's what she wanted him to do.
Working some
activity. His prerogative.
Working some activity. Talk to Jamie Lee Curtis. Help you with that.
Oh, so already
I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing to approach that joke. I was eating popcorn in my ass. Love nothing. prerogative.
No, so I never had that problem. And the reason is for kids, the way to avoid constipation, you got to do a lot of cocaine with the heroin.
Oh, there you go.
Baby laxatives.
So, Artie, how long are you on probation and going to undergo this penis and cup 3-time-a-week protocol?
Okay. Now, that's where I take a little bit of an issue with this. 4 years.
But
I'm going to repeat that. I could get a marketing degree at Montclair State University in the time I'll be 54 if I make it there, but when I'm off probation.
But isn't this a good thing for you? Because it's the only thing that keeps you sober, right?
Okay. Now, look, you're right so far. But if I slip up, look, I'm telling you right. I'll know if I slip up. You know if you're going to pee dirty. You know if you party or something like that. If I get weak at a gig or something like that, or if to me the devil, a hot chick with coke, or wants me to do it with her, and there's a possibility of sex, and I give in, and I know I'm going to pee dirty, I seriously might Roman Polanski it. I don't know. I might get out of town. But I hope. I hope it's a good thing. 4 years is a long time not to screw up for somebody like me.
Yeah, but I think you're at a good age for it because it's hard. When you're 23, you got a lot more screwing up to do. When you're 50,
absolutely,
you don't get a lot more screwing up chances. So let's.
No. Your friend Dr. Drew, who's been, I got to tell you, he's been a very, very good guy to me. He calls me personally. You know, I used to think, he wants me to be on Celebrity Rehab or something. And he really has shown himself to be a guy who cares about me. He saw me at the Comedy Cellar recently, and he calls me if I screw up. And when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, that was really crazy because we were the same exact age, 46. And there was him on the cover of the New York Post, like the recent picture that he had taken. It might as well be me looking in a mirror. I mean, I looked exactly like him, disheveled and almost gone. And Dr. Drew called me up and said, look, not a lot of opiate addicts make it to 50. So think about it. You got 4 years. So I really have that in my head, like I'm on borrowed time, you know, which I really am. I mean, a lot of money changed hands on the internet when I turned 50. I don't know. Adam, you bring up a great point. I should settle down. 50 is a good age for it.
I think it would be a good age for you to settle down in terms of the heroin goes.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Adam. You have a lot of creative input, output for someone who, you come off as a guy who's a little laid back. You're definitely a lot smoother as far as, looking overly ambitious than a lot of asswipes in this business. But you've made a movie, a couple of movies, one about a boxer, one about a comedian. You did The Road. Where are you in life as far as, creatively satisfied? Could you quit doing this? Not financially, just, in your head. Are you okay with what you've done?
I think I could slide into a role where I made a couple of documentaries a year, probably. Right. I do feel like...
That's interesting.
But I do feel like almost every day I have something new to say that I want to say to people. So I never really think of that as a grind any more than saying, if you and I went out to lunch every day for an hour and you just said... gave me some observations and I'd give you some observations.
Right.
I do also believe that whether you're swimming or boxing or playing baseball, you should not look like you're burning a lot of calories.
Smooth, effortless.
Yeah, the guys that are really fast swimmers don't look like they're trying that hard. They're just moving.
Right.
And I feel that way in life. Like, you don't have to flail around a lot. You can get a lot done sort of quietly and smoothly. And that's what I sort of intend to do.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point about what we do. It's like, I look at myself sometimes when I'm on the road. I take a shower, and I have to go on stage at 8:30, and it's 8:28, and I'm at a Marriott in St. Louis. And I look in the mirror, and I go, there are 1,200 people who this is their Saturday night. I'm looking at their Saturday night. They paid money. They went to dinner. And that is what's in the mirror is supposed to entertain them. And I do look like the guy's going to put the cable in. And I think that's what people do like that. That used to be the essence of cool. Like, you look like you're not trying, like Miles Davis or something. But now everybody's, the problem with comedy to me is everybody's, they look a little too gung-ho, And podcasting, it is a great thing. It doesn't feel like work. It shouldn't if you're good at it. And I feel like that too. I want to, I want to bitch a little more about stuff, and that's a great forum to do it. But I mean, look, man, you really—I mean, to make a movie and like, by the way, the Paul Newman thing I really enjoyed. It's something that I at 50 years old, that's another reason that should be a reason to stay clean, because I do feel like there's other shit I want to do, you know, and talk about, because the one thing I'm decent at is bitching on the radio, you know.
Well, what I started to figure out somewhere, and maybe it was after having a couple of kids, I started figuring out that almost everything I did just kind of went up into the ether and wasn't really capturable. So you go out and do stand-up, or you do a radio show, and it just kind of blows up into the, it just kind of goes up into the atmosphere. Now, you make a documentary, or you write a book called Wanna Bet, A Degenerate Gambler's Guide to Living on the Edge, and that's something someone can hold in their hand and possibly even crush a bug with at some point later on in life. And so you start thinking, I'd like to leave some stuff behind. There was a John Hyatt song when in some line of it, he just goes, he's feeling so low. And at some point he goes, I can't even prove that I'm alive. And I thought, you know, even doing stand-up in a weird way, when you're done, you're just done. If you think about all the stand-ups who never had their, you know, HBO specials or whatever, just guys you'd heard of, they're just gone. Yeah. They're
on the road. You feel that way on the road after a show. You're like, you're right. It's up in the ether, you know. The thousands of laughs I think I got on the Star Trek just because I was there for so long. You're right. It doesn't feel like it's there's a record of it even, you know, or somebody happens to YouTube you by accident.
Right.
I started out there like Mad TV. I was on that for 2 years, and they were crazy years, but there's sketches I left behind that are real things that I'm proud of. The books are certainly that. I always say, like, it's an actual physical thing. Like God, The Godfather has three films, and the DVD, I used to say this in my act, is a perfect thing to get, the trilogy, for a party, because you watch one and two and do cocaine off of three.
And by the way, let's not forget the lasting impression you've left on the guy who watches you put your dick in a cup three times. That guy will be your legacy.
Yeah, life changed.
He'll tell his children and his children's children.
They will pass it down to their grandchildren.
Yeah. Gather around, kids. I got a story for you.
Yeah, it'll be it'll be like Princess Bride.
Or Well, you know, everyone knows the story about Bobby Brown pulling shit out of Whitney's ass. But guess what I did?
When I was your age.
No, you're right. Again, Beer League, like the movie I made during the Stern Show. People, you know, when you look back at the insane failure it was at the box office, the lack of success it had commercially. But it's something I'm really proud of. Like, Frank Sebastian, the kid I did it with, we love it. And the kids, there's people who, you know, who was our target audience, who love it too. And even though it didn't make any money, it didn't get me the next level on any level in show business, me and Frank still say we're happy we did it, because it's something we left behind that is a physical thing we're proud of. I mean, the Stern Show is too, in the sense that, and your shows too, they're documented somewhere, but they don't feel, certainly stand up on the road, like it's in the ether. It doesn't feel like you left anything behind. That sucks, because it's thousands of hours.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like, if we want to just really break it down, and instead of Suboxone, we take some, you know, mushrooms and really, really dig deep here. But
Coyote.
One could say that the impression you left with those people when you go, you know, like we all, like, ask me the first concert I ever went to. I went to see the Cars with my buddy Jeff Katz. I remember seeing the Cars. It's not written down anywhere, right. And there's no commemorative medallion or anything. It's just in my psyche, you know. And there will be, there are thousands of people who remember seeing Artie Lang and will remember seeing Artie Lang. And even though it's can't be put in a Lucite case like a home run ball, it's in a way it penetrated even deeper.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, first of all, what an appropriate band for you to see, the Cars, for the first time.
Yeah. And,
my first, you know, it's funny, my first concert, AC/DC at 13 years old, and I will never, I mean, the song Hell's Bells, my God, I remember exactly how Brian Johnson riffed on that one.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a band called Jacks Off the Scrambled Porn, so I had to go with my second choice, which was Cars. The Cars.
How about the guy who directed and left behind Big Fucking Portuguese Tits 9?
He's a hero. And that's true. That's a legacy. He left it behind.
There are people who, like, even though, like I say, I've never gotten higher than maybe like a D or a C list celebrity thing, but I was on a show for a little while that was, and you know, the top of the game of its thing, the Yankees of radio. I got to be on it, and you realize that how intimate, you know this too. The radio fan is to a radio performer. It's different than television. They feel like you're their buddy. Like you went to work with them in the morning or put them to bed at night, and they it's almost extra special for them to meet you. Like, a guy came up to me about a year ago at a Yankee game, and he was getting close to me, and I'm like, okay, this guy recognized me, was he a weirdo? And he was sweating, and he was overweight, it was odd, and out of the corner of his mouth, he goes like this, I don't want to blow up your spot, but in 2003, I had breakfast with you at the Pittsburgh airport, and I realized it was very special to him, and I thanked him for bringing that up, and he walked away. Now, if that meant a lot to him, think about what's the stand-up mental.
Oh, yeah.
It's odd.
Well, all that being said, again, books, good, episodes of Crashing, good. And, you know, the longer you can hang around and create, the bigger your footprint's going to be, Artie. So on a positive note, why don't you not lament that four-year of being suspended, or not being suspended, but being... being on parole for 4 years, and look at that as a mitzvah, as your people would say. That
I'm Italian, but yeah.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about the comedy.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a good thing, and it's probably going to keep you sober for all those years. And then by then, you will have strung together, 4 years, 1 month, and 1 day. Or whatever you have.
Nice. It would be nice to come back and talk about that. I thought you were actually going to the Footprints poem after the Footprints poem.
It was then that Adam carried you.
I was on the beach. And, So, Artie Lang, the book is Wanna Bet. It's a degenerate gambler's guide to living on the edge. So funny and so much to offer. Please keep doing that drug testing, and I'll talk to Dr. Drew about you a little bit later on. But I like living in a world with Artie Lang, although not in the same state. Yeah. Thanks.
Likewise, my friend. Next book, Penis and Cup.
Penis and Cup. Thank you.
Adam, thank you, my man.
Thanks, Artie.
Really nice to have me on. I appreciate it. Love you.
Thank you. Artie Lang, everybody. Oh, just be nice if Artie was able to beat those drugs.
Agreed.
Stick around and keep.
Need more Artie in our lives.
Yeah, well, you can just tell, no matter what state Artie's in, he has that gift. He has that ability to connect those ideas and connect those thoughts, and that's very rare. And I think we can all appreciate it. And being up on stage with him is just fun. He just belongs on stage. He just comes alive on stage. All right. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Don't take a quickie break. We'll do some news right after that. But first, LifeLock. Ironically, thieves are turning back to stealing from mailboxes. Thieves use sticky rat traps tied to strings to pull envelopes out of government mailboxes. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft. Like if your info is on sale on the dark web, you don't want that. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to have to worry about a problem because you have the best. You have LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
LifeLock, baby. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with the news right after this.
Hey,
it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Can I first say my brother's birthday is on Thursday, and now I know what I'm getting him. Getting him Marty's book. He's going to love it. This is going to be his favorite thing. So excited.
Hey, click through Amazon and bookmark us,
obviously,
if you like. Thank you.
Put some wind in the sails. Mm-hmm. Police in Houston say they've captured the man suspected of at least three murders in the area over the past week. 46-year-old Jose Gilberto Rodriguez.
What? Yeah. Look at this gentleman.
He does look like an upstanding citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Was arrested after police.
Hey, hold on a second. Yeah. Can I say this to all the douchebags with all the fucking tattoos who are non-criminals? You're fucking it up for everyone else. We used to be able to pick out the criminals and the gangbangers because these guys had a tattoo on their neck. Now, every fucking jack-off who, you know, is 45 and has like three kids has the fucking tats going. We could spot the criminals a mile away because they were the only ones with the aggressive tattoos.
Ooh, new game, criminal or chef.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, you fucking hipster chefs are fucking, everyone's fucking up with the tattoos because this guy is tattooed all over the place, but no big whoop. He could build custom Harleys or be a chef. Mm-hmm.
Does he have a hair tattoo?
Looks like he has a head tattoo,
All right. Mm-hmm. So authorities then identified him as the prime suspect.
Now you sound like his mom. Oy vey.
Sephardic, and warned residents to be on the lookout. Rodriguez, who was on parole for unspecified crimes, had been wearing an ankle monitor but managed to cut it off a few days ago.
We can't specify these crimes.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if someone busted open the docket, go ahead and just read it and tell it like he's on parole for...
we've said too much.
Playing a little close to the vest now, the orange vest.
Well, he's accused of three fatal shootings Friday, Saturday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm. So we need to. She's shooting random people.
He took Sunday off.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a serial killer, or he could have a vendetta. We don't know yet.
A serial killer who shoots people,
not common.
And it's also kind of like when you find out someone is in the Summer Olympics, and you're like, "What are you doing? Air rifle?" And you're like, really Olympics. Like,
it's the curling of.
You're shooting people. Like anyone can be a serial killer with a gun. You got to like break in and choke people out with a stocking or something.
Put happy
you know
faces
what I mean?
On their butts.
Yeah. And then what do we label you? The shoots people from a distance killer. Like what's the handle. You know what I mean?
That's not strong.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now it places the lotion in the bath.
Yeah. You got to keep someone in a basement.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a British diver involved in the Thai cave rescue mission has indicated he may sue Elon Musk. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
Over comments made by the billionaire, according to Yahoo News, Musk called diver Michael Unsworth a pedo, aka a pedophile, on Sunday in a tweet he later deleted. The diver had criticized the submarine that that Elon sent over and delivered to Thailand as being a PR stunt, said that it couldn't work and he should stick the sub where it hurts. This apparently set Musk off to the point where he went off on a tweet thread, doubling down, calling Unsworth a pedophile, saying this guy really asked for it. And then, of course, he deleted everything. Musk personally visited Thailand to deliver the sub.
This is below Musk. I mean, who does he think he is? The president? Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy man. I also read somewhere else that
big when, to small, Elon.
That That's
they,
right.
They asked him to leave at the cave. Like, he was in the way.
Elon?
Yeah. That's what one camp says.
I gotta say, I've talked to Matt DeAndrea, the moderator DeAndrea, about this, and like his Tesla 3 or whatever it is, which was going to be $35,000 and delivered, blah blah blah, is $80,000 and it's not ready yet, or they're not able to deliver. And he keeps explaining to me that he's got a little P.T. Barnum.
I was just about to say, it's a little P.T. Barnum,
and it's perfect because it speaks to all of us. Like Lynette, she goes through three panties. Like, he's going to tunnel through the 4 or 5 mountains. He's setting a tunnel. He's tunneling. And I'm like, yeah, he hasn't tunneled yet. There's a picture.
It's a boring company.
He's tunneling. And I'm like, I don't think we could use his tunnel to get to L.A. We can. He's doing it now. You know, he's got it. We want it so badly. Yeah, like, yes. Oh, anyone who lives here wants a tunnel. Yeah. We love that idea. And
confirmation
everything
bias.
In space sounds.
We want to be so bad.
Everything in space sounds great. And he's sending a mini sub over because you want the kids rescued so bad.
It's a little Carnival Barker-ish.
Yeah, they said there was no chance of it working, according
to
these guys.
Car. It's going to be $35,000. It's going to have a 300-mile range. It's going to be awesome. And it's like, not coming out the way they want it to come out. And
good's not as advertised.
They should have called his bluff and like used it and killed someone.
Yeah.
The submarine?
Yeah. You know.
So, they should have done that.
And look, my feeling is when somebody says, oh, you know, that guy just bought the library, so you can put his name on it. It's like, okay, well, good. There's a library with somebody's name on it, and somebody gets to use it. The poor kids can use it. Yeah. I don't.
That's okay.
That's fine with me.
It's a tax write-off. That's why we have that, so they give their money away.
Right. Yeah. I'm all fine with that, but I think Elon's got a little more of that in him than we initially thought.
Do you think he was like this pre-Amber Heard?
No, I blame Amber Heard.
He just showing off for the lady. Oh, okay.
He shouldn't. His next project? A robot that throws a wine glass at Amber Heard. He can't do it himself. But no court in the land would convict a robot. You could always explain it just went rogue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Went awry.
On its own.
Yep.
That's good. Well, ESPN reports that Washington National fans are celebrating Bryce Harper's recent performance at the Home Run Derby for giving them what are now basically free tickets to baseball games. So here's what happened. Before the contest, the Nationals sent out an email to their whole mailing list promising reduced tickets of lower-level seats by $1 for every home run Harper hit, down to as low as $1. Well, and I think we have some footage of it. Harper hit 45 home runs. And with the lower level tickets in two sections, we just play without the audio, just to show you how many hits he does. Starting at less than that amount, it means tickets for those seats to 5 games will sell for $1 while supplies last. If the fans use the right code,
nothing. This is what makes me angry. My gym has one TV. It's dedicated full time to Shark Tank.
And sweet.
Shark Tank's a horrible show to watch when you're running on a treadmill because it's like, what are they saying? What's going down? What's they saying?
Why does he look scared?
Yes, he's come up with a better trail mix bar, but it's like, I don't know who's buying it or what's going on or people are disappointed. Conversely, nothing better than the Home Run Derby. Yeah. You don't need...
He's dressed like President Camacho.
Yes, you need no sound. It's all good. And they put all the graphics. They tell you the flight of the ball and the height of the ball and the arc of the ball and the speed of the ball. I mean, there's really nothing you need sound for. But it does make you angry when something is going down like this and they got the fucking Shark Tank on the stupid TV. But yes, is Bryce the guy who had the drug problem and came back? Or is that the other
Hamilton.
Guy?
That's
Hamilton, who kind of has the same look.
Yeah, they look so similar. The sort of beardish thing going on.
Yeah, not Hamilton and not Harper. There
Bryce
you
Harper's
go.
Harper's a slugger.
When I was watching this video of him...
Hamilton had a big year
he did.
When he came
big
back.
Big comeback, too.
Yeah.
I was watching that and I saw all the little tiny children in the outfield that go and get those balls. Nobody gets beaned in the head?
No, and they don't catch nearly as many as they should either. Like, they're all just standing at the warning track and seeing it's just like just over their head. It's like, come on, douche, catch a ball now.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like you're not even trying. Mm. Well, CNN reports that lava that's still flowing from the Kilauea volcano has now created its own tiny island off the coast of Hawaii. The island of lava appeared Thursday just offshore from the northern edge of the Big Island, reportedly by underwater pressure pushing the lava flow to the surface.
I was watching Rachel Maddow last night, and I found out that Trump's trying to channel that lava into the cages where they keep the Mexican kids.
I didn't realize that.
No one's stopping. Yes. No one's stopping.
Look it up. They can't.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Is this still going?
Yes. And the island, quote unquote, island's only 30 feet around, but it's, I mean, it's there. This thing won't stop flowing. Now I read that literally like balls of fire are hitting people's and damaging people's buildings and cars. This thing won't stop.
Still love acts of nature.
Yeah.
Versus all the stuff we cook up as human beings to be evil.
We have angered the gods.
Yeah.
Easy
to see why they would have thought that.
I just love any act of nature. Kind of waiting on an earthquake around here.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Just feel overdue.
Does this, you know about earthquake rehab. How are we feeling with this building?
This isn't what you're looking for.
The light running from my head feels good.
we can get under the console, though. That's good.
Well, so what you got...
Why do you think I stand?
What you got going here is a cinder block building.
Oh, no.
There's some rebar in there, and it's backfilled and everything. But what you kind of want is the joists or the trusses that are above us tied in to the outside of the building, hence those plates that they put on there. And I don't think this building has that. So,
well, it was owned by someone who used to do earthquake rehab. What a chance!
We'll never
that.
Know. So it's pretty much about just tying things into the superstructure so that when the movement happens, stuff doesn't fall through.
The museum putty.
There's not much above us really in the weight department, so I wouldn't really worry about it.
Well, but, for me, it's either here or a 100-year-old building, so I'm gonna die.
You want your 100-year-old building must be brick.
It's stucco.
Over,
it looks very...
It's stucco over brick.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Because they didn't stucco 2x4s.
They said it's from the 20s.
It's stucco on top of brick.
Okay.
So that's not good.
That can save me, no.
Look, great. Maybe you'll be in your car in between the two death traps. Speaking of cars, how about TrueCar, man? Here's a tip. Earthquake rehab, your place of business. Second tip, place your key fob under your chin to increase its range. Here's another tip you may not know. TrueCar also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you're looking to buy new or you want to go used, you got to always go TrueCar. You know what other people paid. You figure it out. You go apples to apples and you pick out your vehicle. You lock it in. You do what our own Chris Maxipata did. Enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers who are also competing for your business against each other. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. It's TrueCar. All right. What else?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if this is going to upset Brian or not, so I guess we'll find out. Bruce Willis settled a decades-old debate at the end of his Comedy Central roast, which is going to air on July 29th on Comedy Central, of course. 63-year-old actor took all of his personal shots and jokes from friends, even his ex-wife, Demi Moore, before setting the record straight about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Mm. Brian, what do you think he's going
to
say?
I think it's silly to get worked up over it. However, anyone who says it's not is an idiot.
He leaned into the mic and declared that Die Hard is not a Christmas
movie.
He's
obviously wrong.
Die Hard fans of the movie might be a little disappointed, but the film's co-writer...
Disappointed that the star is an idiot.
Stephen E. D'Souza has previously said that since the movie takes place over the holiday season, it is considered a Christmas movie, but did it come out in July?
When the movie comes out, it means nothing. Talk about the movie itself, what's contained in the film. The plot of the film would not exist were it not for Christmas. They're at a company Christmas party. The building is empty because it's fucking Christmas. They're inside the building. They're at the building to celebrate Christmas. He sends the guy down wearing a Santa hat and had ho-ho written on his dead body.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, it's
Christmas.
That's
the only reason the place is empty.
Wow.
That being said, trains, planes, and automobiles. Come on now. That's a Christmas movie.
No, it's not. That's a Thanksgiving movie.
That's
true.
A Thanksgiving.
We're coming home for
that's
Thanksgiving.
That's a holiday movie.
It's a holiday film, you're right.
And John Candy should have been nominated. Every time I see that film, I just go, God, he was so good
it's
in
such
that
a good
movie.
I think it's my favorite John Hughes movie.
It is. And he's had a lot of good.
He's had a lot of good ones.
All right. What else?
Well, how popular is Fortnite, you might ask? Researchers found that on average, 6 to 16-year-olds spend more than 2 hours a day playing the game. Sadly, this same age group spends just about 7 hours a week total outdoors. That
what are you
weekends.
Talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least
saw
when they're outdoors,
yesterday.
Like, I remember when they were looking for Pokemon, and I was just like,
ugh. You're gonna get hit by a car.
You said get indoors, and you never thought this would be the manifestation. Yeah.
Get indoors and shoot strangers from a sofa. Like, I wanted them to stop looking for Pokemon yeah. and collecting Pokemon cards
all.
And all that kind of stuff. And Pokemon gone, and now Fortnite. Now Lynette's playing Fortnite with the kids, and they're screaming at her how bad she is. And that's what happened last night. My thing, look, whether it be Fortnite or Artie Lang and me doing a bump of H, what if I really dig it? Mm-hmm. Like people go,
okay, are you kidding?
You
me?
Should play this. You dig it, and I go, yeah.
What's
well,
the upside?
What if I really dig it?
Yep.
What if I dig the caress of a strange man's hand yep. or something? And there's many things I may fall in love with, none of which are good for the family.
In Trainspotting, there was the one character who never did heroin. He's like, let me try that. Next thing you know, dead.
Yeah. Right. That's now. There's a Christmas
there
movie.
Yes, John McClane would not be on the airplane back to L.A. if it wasn't Christmas.
I've never played video games ever because my feeling is just like, what if I really get into it?
Yeah, you'll either hate it or you'll love it. Either way,
what's
not good
shot?
For you.
Right. And there's an admittance that there's not a lot going on in your current life.
Yeah.
In my world, I have many versions of this, but if you're the, you know, chick that just collects things with hippos and are hippo themed and mm-hmm. stuff like that, she loves hippos. Cheryl Ann loves hippos and whatever it is. You're sort of saying, I don't really have that much going on. I feel the same way about the people that are like, I've been to Disneyland 1,300 times or I've followed this band. I've seen fish 250 times. Like,
your reaction is like, oh, good?
That's someone else's thing. That's not your thing. I know you've co-opted it. Now their thing is
when
your thing.
Say, I tour with fish. Do you open?
Says the guy who has Paul Newman's cars.
Yes. Well, first things first. If there was some sort of thing where fish paid you at the end of the season,
you could say you toured
with
them.
In, yeah.
Then
yeah.
That's fine. The thing about Newman cars is you could sell them at some point and retire and then some.
And Cheryl could sell the hippos.
That's
and
what
take
I'm
everyone
saying.
To lunch.
Right. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with Disneyland or Fortnite or Pokemon, but it's not something that should be one should do a lot of.
Yeah.
And I kind of when I was a kid. It was a lot of, you know, it wasn't this. It was, hey, let's get some baseball cards and let's get some comic books. And I was like, for what? You know, it'd be like, you read them, you could trade them, you could collect them. And like, and then what? And they're like, nothing.
You leave them in their protective sleeve.
The end. Repeat.
Yeah.
Yes. You could remember the stats of baseball players or you could find out what Spider-Man is up to. But I was like, but that doesn't feel like anything. And then at some point, it's just going to get given away or put somewhere, whatever it is. Like, look, I get it. People like certain bands or certain restaurants or certain whatevers. But the video games and the amount of hours wasted in a video game feel like you're giving them away to the creator of the video game. And you should be trying to cook up your own version of a video game. And I don't like it, but there's that... That bell has been rung, and there is no unringing that bell.
Do your kids play more than 2 hours a day, Fortnite?
Well, it's like one continual session.
12 hours a day?
Natalia was like the ugliest American of all time. She was playing Fortnite last night at like midnight with a sack of Lucky Charms out of the box, just the sack between her legs. And I had to go in there and like remove that. But, I could say they'd probably, no, I don't think they go more than two, but they could go more than two on any given night, and it probably would average about that. And if I were better, I would intervene. But my problem is there's nobody in my house that will support this intervention. So I just kind of do my own thing. But I, you know, sort of coming full circle with Artie Lang and Proving You Were Alive, maybe a little more time working on that book or that documentary or that whatever it is you shall be leaving behind versus I played a shitload of video games.
Yeah.
I don't get any of it. I look at my life as very finite. Like, you got a few years while the sun is shining to really kind of put your stamp on this life. And I'm not saying, oh, you'll be, you know, when the script is written, your name will be at the top. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about things you can think about when you're laying in bed waiting to die.
Accomplishments.
When you're in your 80s and playing video games, you'll probably wish you did a little less of that.
We don't even have the thrill of dragging your friends down to an arcade anymore to show them your top score. You got nothing.
Now, we had a Centipedes game. Oh, is it Space Invaders?
Which one had the ball? Centipede had the ball,
Centipede
right?
The ball. I don't know about Space. I don't know about.
No,
Space
we
Invaders.
Had Space Invaders, where they just keep dropping and dropping and dropping. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, Centipede was the one where it went side to side.
Yeah, and you always got your hand pinched on the rollerball. I did.
We had a Space Invader.
Girls,
right?
I think we had a Space Invader. Yeah, and we had a lot of flunkies hanging out in our apartment.
Oh, you had it when you lived in the apartment.
Yeah, and Donnie's like, we got to hit the button to make it free. And I was like, fuck that.
Oh, no way.
No way. We got enough people hanging around here doing nothing, eating my top ramen and cereal as it is. I said, no, it's a quarter. It's a quarter.
Quarter of play. Okay.
That's laundry money.
And at the end of every month, we pull out a bucket of quarters. It'd be like $41 in quarters.
Awesome.
We'd go to the mall.
That's
we'd
a couple
buy
nights
pizza.
Out.
Yeah. That's when I knew I was an entrepreneur. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. You just go to geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes, let's say 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Head to the Sherman Oaks Mall, the Sherman Oaks Galleria. Get yourself a little hot dog on a stick like the Ace Man did back in the 80s. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding thing you're going to do all day at Geico. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, I know you hate these, so why don't we do it? A pastry chef in New York City has unveiled a very special ice cream sundae. It's called the Bear Extraordinaire. It can be yours for the low, low price of $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
But this one doesn't like come, you know, with a $1,000 piece of jewelry with it. It's actually, it's all edible. The Bear Extraordinaire, it's available at the Baccarat Hotel in Manhattan. It features imported vanilla beans from Madagascar, a hand-painted white chocolate shell with colored cocoa butter, 3 grams of black truffle, and Valerjona. No, Brian.
You're going to hear that again. Mm-hmm.
Cocoa niblets, all drizzled in a hibiscus champagne sauce and adorned with fondant butterflies. It has both edible gold and silver, and it's served in a crystal bowl, but I don't think you get to keep the bowl.
But if you gave us all a choice of a piece of Marie Callender's apple pie with some French vanilla ice cream melting on top of it, we'd all take that for $7 over this, right?
Yeah, we just want to see what a $1,500 ice cream sundae tastes like. This is like plunder when Alec Baldwin, Tina Fey, 30 Rock.
Oh, 30 Rock.
When he goes to plunder for the sundae, for the $1,000 sundae, this is exactly what it looks like.
I think I've kind of distilled down my attraction to automobiles because if you look at a supercar and you look at, we're talking about McLaren. Mm-hmm. And you stand next to a McLaren and someone goes, it's $300,000. You see where all of it went.
Right.
And then you go stand next to Dylan's car and you see where that $14,000 went as well. But you see it. Like, it's there. Like, you get it. There is a difference. Whenever I see this stuff, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I know I would enjoy a piece of hot apple pie a la mode more than this because that's a 10. This can't be an 11. It can only be a 9.6 and it's still not going to be that. So I don't I don't get that.
Yeah, and it, the coating around it looks like Magic Shell. I can buy that for $1.50. Remember Magic Shell?
Yes.
That's just great. That, there, it's the liquid the chocolate you, that
you,
pour,
you, you pour it on and it dries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Looks like Magic Shell.
The dipping, the chocolate dunk.
Yeah, that's, oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking
the
of.
Dilly bars.
It's saying it's a liquid version of that that dunk, and it's nothing. There's nothing better.
Oh,
oh, by the way, can I tell you? It's been a long time, but nothing better. A good ice cream bar.
Good call.
What'd you have in mind?
I was on the flight, British Airways, back from London, and she was like just walking down the aisle with that sort of Mylar packet and the baskets, and it like felt very Fiesta Mix, pretzel-y world or whatever it is to me. And she was like handing stuff out, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm good. Keep walking." She handed it to the woman next to me, who I explained ate everything on the plane, and it seemed like it was like a Mylar sack, and I was picturing like pretzel sticks, right, or something hard and dry and shitty, that thing they hand out an hour before you land, you know. And I was like, yeah, we're good. And at some point I looked around and every human being was eating ice cream bar
like Dove
on a stick style, like a Dove bar. Oh, but me.
Oh, no.
You messed up.
Because they asked. Oh. I just went like, yeah, I don't want any of those salty sticks. I didn't know what was in it. She didn't say it. She's like, what do you like? You know, she's like handing it out. And I had to do, I had to like frantically flail to get her like turn around. And then.
Ding, 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 ding.
When I was done.
What's the emergency, sir?
It was delectable. And then when I was done, I did that move, right? Pulled the last piece of chocolate off the stick, but got a little bit of stick in there.
Yep.
And I realized this was enhancing my experience. Even though I was attempting to get nothing but chocolate off that stick, I could taste the stick. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it just brought me back to a simpler time. Yes. But I was enjoying the stick.
Yeah, like the wooden spoon for the malts.
Yeah, it's the wooden spoon for the malts, or the little bit of crust on the hot dog on a stick that's down at the base. You get a little stick, and somehow, you know, pine alone, not delectable, but somehow helped.
And let me ask you this. Do you prefer the ice cream bar, Dove bar style bar, or do you prefer the ice cream sandwich, where it's between the two sort of wafery chocolate
classic
cookies?
Ice cream sandwich, because now everything's like, you can get it between two sugar cookies.
I'm trying to go apples to apples.
You're right. Not going to go wrong with either one. But on average, I'm going with the Dove bar variety.
I'm going ice cream sandwich.
I'm going sandwich.
You know why? You know why? I'll tell you why. As I think about it, the ice cream sandwich, the outer part, it's got a little Oreo in it. Yeah. And I'm not an Oreo. I've never been an Oreo guy. And it's got a little of that flavor. I don't know what that flavor
artificial
is.
Artificial chocolate flavor.
It's got a little Oreo flavor to it. And I much prefer the Dove variety. But I'll take either. I will take either one. Oh, the brand I had was Magnum.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, because British Airways has Magnum.
I was just going to ask if you've ever had Magnum
ice cream.
A little
larger than average.
These are the greatest ice cream bars on the planet.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
hands down.
Their condoms don't stay on for shit.
But they're delicious.
I mean, you got to use a fucking alligator clip, and then you got to take a piece of elastic and go around the ass. Although I could use a lower back support anyway, so I've worked that in. And then you clip on with the other, like those things, those garters that women used to keep their stockings up.
Like a chip clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, their condoms are massive.
Yeah, too big.
Way too
billowy.
Big. They don't stay on for anything, but... their ice cream bar is delectable. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Valerona.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we have Castrol Edge over here. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful and more efficient. The pressure is on. These cars need smaller engines, and they're asking for more out of a smaller displacement. Castrol Edge collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. You know that I was looking at a Ferrari V8 engine at Goodwood that John Surtees, who just passed recently, was a famous driver from back in the day. It was a V8. Do you think of yourself like V8s? Like you go, well, 289 or 350, a Chevy 350, or a big block, a 427 or 454. This is a V8 made in the late 50s by Ferrari, eight cylinders, 1.5 liter. Meaning, this was a V8. Well, first off, everyone here has got a 3 liter that's a V6. This is a 1.5.
Yeah. My truck was 5 liters.
V8, right.
1.3.
That means 60 cubic inches per liter. Mm-hmm. This means this was a 90 cubic inch engine V8, meaning a small block American is a 289. Mm. That's a small American V8. This was a 90. Mm. That's how small those Europeans made them back then.
Super efficient, I'm guessing?
Yeah, they work. That's why, but they didn't have Castrol Edge back then. They wish they had it. Titanium Gamer is inspired by the need for speed video games. You can find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior, and you can see them. See the video. It's a really cool video. Castrol USA YouTube page. All right, Jim Gaffigan tomorrow. I'm excited. I watch all this guy's specials. So funny. You can check out the podcast masterclass and see everybody doing their thing and then some. You can get the Podcast One app we love and chassis.com and pre-order Uppity. It's going to be available real soon. Live shows coming up, Thousand Oaks, Borderline, Barn Grill. That's coming up next Friday, 27th. We'll be out there. We're doing Seattle Moore Theater, and I think Adam Ray is going to be up on stage with us. So we look forward to that coming up September 13th. Go to adamcarolla.com for all you need. Until next time, Adam Carolla for John Taffer, Artie Lang, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Big fucking Portuguese tits nine.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Would you like to leave us a voicemail? Please do at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Take an E. For a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation, click the link at adamcarolla.com. Now for tickets and info on tickets and info, go to adamcarolla.com.